It can be in the sound of the orchestra preparing, or in the sound of a sculptor working in stone, or even in the sound of laughter from inside a theater. It is the sound of art being created, and for over three decades, the sound of art being created has rung loud and clear in northeastern Minnesota. The Arrowhead Regional Arts Council has been encouraging local arts development in northeastern Minnesota through grants and services for over 35 years. Every year, they give out more than $500,000 to local artists and arts organizations, and that helps create $40 million in revenue and jobs created. To find out more about our arts programs or how you can get involved, visit aracouncil.org. The Arrowhead Regional Arts Council, where the arts flourish, you thrive.
We go back to the days when this region was largely unexplored. Small towns across the north were only accessible by tedious train journeys. And often, where the tracks ended, so did civilization. Lakes and rivers had been the north's only roads for a millennium, navigated by canoe in summer and snowshoes or dog teams in winter. Then to the hinterland came the bush plain, carrying people and freight to places where no roads exist or men had ever seen. The men who jockeyed these planes were a breed unto themselves. Many had learned their flying skills in the hostile skies over Europe. The more adventurous types, who hated the restraints of rule books and scheduled flights, drifted north and became that unique breed of independent and often ornery fellows known as the Bush Pilot. Tonight's story, Early Arrival.
So did you hear one about the preacher and the pilot, Gert?
$8 for 6?
Oh no, it's too early in the day for one of your bad jokes, boss.
Plus delivery? How much is that going to cost me?
No, this is a good one, you'll see.
Okay, you kind of got me over a barrel here.
Promises.
You guarantee they will be delivered before 5. Her shift ends at 5.
All right, now this preacher is standing in line waiting for St. Peter to let him through the pearly gates. And behind him is standing this scruffy bush pilot looking for all the world like Mark over there.
No, you will not call me when they are delivered or send the bill. I'll come in and pay for them myself, in person.
What is that boy up to?
Well, anyway, St. Peter gets this big grin on his face and waves the pilot past the preacher, gives him a big old pat on the back saying, "Welcome, welcome." Well, then St. Peter hands the pilot this dazzling white fur-trimmed robe, a halo of pure gold polished within an inch of its life.
Mark's whispering into the phone like he was trying to arrange bail for his grandmother.
What? No, okay. So St. Peter ushers the pilot into heaven with a big fanfare of trumpets. Then St. Peter turns to the preacher and mumbles, "Good to see you," and with hardly a second glance...
What was all that about Marcus?
And as I was saying, St. Peter hands the guy this threadbare old robe and a tarnished brass halo and waves the preacher through to the toot of a kid's tin horn.
Nothing, Gert, nothing.
Then the preacher gets really riled up. He turns to St. Peter and says, "How come that scruffy pilot got such a big reception? He a war hero or something?"
Come on, kiddo. What's the state secret? You can tell old Gert.
The preacher brags why I had the biggest congregation in the city. I preached every Sunday for 50 years to a full house.
Go away, Gert. Don't you have any typing to do? Where's my manifest?
So then the preacher asked, "What did that pilot ever do compared to my years of service?" And St. Peter...
Don't go changing the subject with me, young fella. Betcha it's a girl.
Gert, Mark. St. Peter says it's not about the length of time in service. It's the results that count up here. You preach dull, boring sermons every Sunday while most of your parishioners slept in their pews. But this guy, why, I tell you, every time he took a plane up, every passenger aboard was earnestly praying the entire trip. And furthermore, their joyful praises upon arriving in one piece was an inspiration to all of us here.
Sorry, Ben, what's that?
Oh, never mind. Forget it.
Well, that was better than most of your stories, boss. Now, Mark, you were going to tell old Gert?
Nosy old busybody.
Can't keep a secret around here, you know. Gert knows all, sees all, hears all.
Somebody want to tell me what's going on around here?
Nothing, boss.
I got the freight all weighed up, Gert. Hey, who died?
Don't worry, Tim. The boss just told another of his jokes. We're still recovering.
Hey, little respect here.
And Mark has a girlfriend.
Oh, you finally asked that nurse out, eh? You send her the flowers like I suggest?
Button it, Tim. Time for you to supervise loading.
What did I say? Yes, indeed. Time to supervise loading.
Ha ha! I knew it. I can read you like a book, Mr. Black.
And here I thought a man's personal life was personal. But nothing stops Gert when she gets into high gear.
Well, you know who to call for motherly advice, Mark.
Yeah, Gert. Ben.
Oh, you wound me to the quick, Mark.
Gert, go easy on the poor guy. You know how sensitive he is.
But it's so easy getting his goat, and just too much fun to stop now. Besides, if I quit, he might think I've come down with something.
You mean like compassion, maybe?
Oh, you're just mad because I didn't laugh at your dumb joke.
One of these days, Alice, kapow, right in the kiss.
Oh, sure, I'm quaking in my boots. Mm-hmm. You're back early, Mark.
Yep, good tailwind on the return leg.
I got good news and bad news. Which do you want first?
Okay, ruin my day. Bad news first.
Some girl called here for you. Sounded a lot like that pretty little nurse you nearly killed last winter. She wanted to apologize for having to cancel your date tonight. Something about work.
Oh, thanks, Gert. The good news?
Health services called and arranged a mercy flight to a remote settlement for self-same nurse to get a patient tomorrow afternoon, and dear old Gert persuaded Ben to give you the charter. If you want it, that is.
Me? Tomorrow. Sure.
All mush under that tough exterior. Border Flying Service, what can I do for you? Mark? He won't be in until after lunch. Can I take a message, miss? Your head nurse just told you that a doctor is replacing you on the flight this afternoon? Certainly, miss. I will tell him when he arrives. I'm sure he will be very disappointed indeed, miss. Is there anything else you would like me to pass along? What? He told you to say that? Well, I never. Thank you, miss. I'll be sure to give your message to Mr. Black the very minute he arrives. Just you wait, young Marcus. I've a bone to pick with you.
Is this your first mercy flight, Doc?
It's Dr. Esther Halsey. The third, if you don't mind. And in this godforsaken country, yes, it is. But I'll have you know I've logged nearly 100 hours in light planes in Alaska. I own a Cessna of my own. On floats, you know.
Well, that's great. So I shouldn't have to remind you again that you need to fasten your seatbelt since we are heading into some turbulence.
I have my patient to attend to. That's my priority. Yours is to fly this plane.
Just saying. She hasn't let out a peep since she boarded. Looks comfortable enough at present. Is it necessary to keep hopping around in here every 2 minutes? In my limited experience, patients usually let everyone in the plane know if they have any sudden changes in condition, especially the really pregnant ones.
Yes, exactly. In your limited experience, I trained at Johns Hopkins, for your information.
Hey, you're the boss, doctor. I barely passed the first aid course, but I have flown nearly 50 of these pregnant girls out of the bush in the last 5 years. You're here to help her when necessary, and if you get hurt bouncing around inside this tin can, you're no good to anyone.
I'm also an experienced pilot, remember?
Yeah, good for you. I get incapacitated, you can fly us all home. You get hurt, I'm no use to you or her, unless all she needs is a Band-Aid. How many Mercy flights did you say you've done, if I might ask?
This is my first. However, I'm a highly qualified obstetrician.
That's what I thought. I'm sure your patient is reassured having such a qualified professional if she needs help. Bet you dime Sedonis is a nasty little storm cell hidden in this cloud bank. Again, doctor, you better buckle up.
Oh,
perfect. Idiot smacked his noggin on the control column, and he's out like a light. Oh, I gotta get him off the controls, quick! There. Are you okay in back, miss?
Fine. Getting bumpy, eh? You don't look so good. You gonna be okay?
He's got a hard head, so don't you worry. We will get you to the hospital safe and sound. Let me know if you need anything right away. At least till Sleeping Beauty here wakes up, okay? CF-251 to base. CF-251 to base. Do you read me? Over.
Hi, this is Tim. I mean, base here. Read you loud and clear. What can I do for you, Mark? Over.
CF-251. Well, look who's minding the Radio Shack. Listen, Tim, old boy. You need to get through to the hospital and tell them their flying doctor knocked himself silly, so if he doesn't wake up before we arrive, they might need two stretchers waiting at the dock. The idiot probably gave himself a concussion. Oh, and, let them know if anything else goes haywire before then. I may need some quick advice. Our ETA is 40 minutes. Over.
Oh, okay. Got that, CF-251. Let the hospital know, the doc is out for the count, and they gotta stand by in case anything else happens. Roger. Mark? Good news. Ben has just come in the door. We'll call the hospital, see if we can patch him through or something. Over.
Good man, Timmy. We'll make a radio operator out of you yet. Let the boss know, okay? You know how Ben stews about everything. CF-251, out.
CF-251, I heard that, Mark. Flying's your job, worrying's mine. Do I tell you how to do your job? Over.
CF-251. All the time, boss. All the time. Over and out. How's everything back there, miss? Everything okay?
Oh, I wish my cookum was here. She used to deliver all the babies in the village, but that doctor said she would just be in the way.
Yeah, I'm sorry, too. Some folk have no common sense despite years of education. Your grandma has probably forgotten more about delivering babies than this guy will ever learn. He just doesn't like to listen.
Oh, I'm okay, but I've been having these strong pains for a while. My cocum said it's normal. So I didn't say anything, but they've been getting worse now.
What? How long?
They started last night, but now they're a lot stronger.
Miss, my name's Mark. What's yours?
Oh, in English, it means Morning Star.
That's an awfully pretty name, Morning Star.
My cocum just calls me Star.
Morning Star, I'm wishing your grandmother was here right now, too. But you and me will do just fine. You said something a minute ago. I missed it.
Oh, just call me Star, please. I was saying the pains come about every 2 minutes. Not much rest now between them. It feels like something spilled on the seat. It's all wet where I'm sitting.
Okay, Star. Just try to relax. Doc. Wake up now. God, he's out for the count. him, Mark. You're on your own. CF-251 to base. Do you read? I'm still 30 minutes out, and my passenger's water just broke. Over.
Will the doctor revive enough to help? How will Mark make the hospital in time? Will Morningstar and her baby be safe? Listen for the next exciting episode of The Bush Pilot on a podcast near you. We go back to the days when this region was largely unexplored. Small towns across the north were only accessible by tedious train journeys, and often where the tracks ended, so did civilization. Lakes and rivers had been the north's only roads for a millennium, navigated by canoe in summer and snowshoes or dog teams in winter. Then to the hinterland came the bush plain, carrying people and freight to places where no roads exist or men had ever seen. The men who jockeyed these planes were a breed unto themselves. Many had learned their flying skills in the hostile skies over Europe. The more adventurous types, who hated the restraints of rule books and scheduled flights, drifted north and became that unique breed of independent and often ornery fellows known as the Bush Pilot. And now, we return to tonight's story, Early Arrival. When we last heard from Mark, he was still many miles from the hospital and his passenger was in end-stage labor. The doctor who accompanied the patient, Morningstar, had been incapacitated due to turbulence. But Mark had wisely tried to prepare for an emergency by having his base contact the hospital.
CF-251 to base. Do you have that patch through to the hospital yet? Over.
This is base. Reading you 5x5, CF-251. Over.
CF-251. Hi, Gert. I need some advice here quick. Over.
CF-251, hang on. The hospital did you one better. They sent a staff member over here to talk you through. Advise you of your options. Stand by.
Oh, thank the Lord for that.
Okay, honey. When you want to talk, you hold down this button. To hear Mark, you take your finger off the button.
Push to talk? Up to listen, right? Right. Okay, got it. Are you there, Mark?
Andrea, that you? Over.
Yes, it's me. Over. How is the patient?
Well, the doc is out cold, but I'm guessing you mean the real patient. Over.
Yes, our mother-to-be. What is her condition? Over.
She's been having powerful labor pains since her water broke. Evidently, she has been laboring for about half the night, but the doc never thought that tidbit was important enough to pass on to me before he knocked himself out. I asked Morningstar how far apart they are, and she says they come about every 2 minutes, and they last for about a minute each. She's not complaining much, but she said it feels like the baby moved down. Oh, yes, it's her first baby, too, if that helps. Over.
Good. That may give us a little more time, but, Mark, I think you better find some place to land the plane right away. It sounds to me like the baby is coming, and you'll need both hands to help Mom. Over.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. I have no idea. I can't. You're not serious.
I'm sorry, Mark. With the doctor out of commission, you're her only option. But you're not alone. I'll make all the decisions. You will be my eyes and hands.
I don't know about this.
Oh, come on. You fly a complex airplane in challenging situations every day. Make 100 life and death decisions routinely. Now land that plane someplace where there's calm water. We'll take it step by step from there. Over.
Roger that. One thing I was taught early on was how to take orders. Over.
That's news to me.
When I want an opinion from the peanut gallery, I'll ask for it. Over. Hey, hang on, Star. The nurse wants me to land this thing so I can give you a hand with baby. How are you doing?
Every time I get a pain, it feels like it's pushing itself.
Andrea, she wants to push. Over.
Try to get her to relax until you're down. Get her to take long, slow, deep breaths.
Star, the nurse wants you to take long, slow, deep breaths. Can you do that? We will be safely on the lake in a couple of minutes. We're down safe, and I've tied us off to a tree, Star. Let's get in contact with the nurse, okay? CF-251 to base. Do you read me? Over.
We hear you, Mark. Over.
We're down, and the plane is more or less stable. I've got the radio switched over to speaker, but remember, I will need a hand free to talk to you, okay? So, what's the drill? Over.
First thing, did the doctor bring his bag with him or a package? Over.
No bag, but he did stuff something under his seat. Let me look. There is a pack of some kind, says sterile on the wrapper. Over.
Okay, good. That's the delivery pack used for medical evacs. Now, do you have enough room in there to get Mom lying down on the floor? Over.
If I take one of the seats, yes. Stand by a minute, please. Okay, seats out of the way now. Over.
In the pack. Oh, sorry, was that me? I got ahead of myself. Open the pack. There should be two sterile sheets. Spread one on the floor for Mom to lie on. Over.
I don't like where this is going. Andrea, I found a couple of blankets in the plane's emergency kit and put them on the deck first. That okay? Over.
Good thinking. See? You're a natural. Morningstar, if you can hear me, this is Andrea. I'm a nurse at the hospital. Mark is going to help you lie down on the floor of the plane. He's a good man. I trust him with my life. We'll help you bring your baby into the world, okay? Over.
Star's nodding okay. Over. Believe me, Star, the nurse wasn't this confident the first time she flew with me. But I'll tell you that story another time. Let's get you comfortable.
Okay.
Do you have room to maneuver with the seat removed, Mark? Over.
It's a tight squeeze, but we can make do. Over.
Okay. Now, set the one sheet aside to wrap the baby in. Oh, there should be a pair of surgical gloves, and set them aside, too. Now take the other sheet, fold it twice, and slide it under Mom. Morningstar, how often are your contractions now? Over.
I don't know. Like they're always there. I think the baby's coming.
Andrea, did you get that? Now what do you want me to do? Oh, I think I'm going to be sick.
I heard everything. Thank you very much. And you will not get sick, Mr. Black. We wait for a bit and let Mother Nature take her course. You're doing well, Morningstar. Just relax between contractions. Over.
I'm a little yellow buttercup. Whee, so many pretty color lights.
Baby's coming. It feels like it's just there.
Doc, are you finally awake?
Oh, singing birdie.
Oh, I think it's time, Andrea, and the doc is still useless. Over. Star, can you take the doc's hand? You can squeeze it as hard as you want, but I'm going to need both of mine for a bit, okay?
Mark, you need to check to see if the baby is coming. Over.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. I don't know what to...
Have to be my eyes. No choice. Sorry. Can you see the head yet? And it's time for you to put on those sterile gloves. Just make sure you don't go touching anything but the baby and the sheet with them. Over.
Yes, ma'am. I got them, but they're kind of small for my hands. Oh, don't you dare puke yet, Sonny. You'll never hear the end of it. Over.
Mark, you've got to see the baby to catch it. Tell me what you see. Over.
Head? I think I see a head. Yes, it's a baby's head. You're doing great, Star.
Okay, Star. With the next contraction, I want you to push hard, okay?
Starkle, starkle, little twinkle. Oh, my hand is in a vice. Good night.
Did you hear that, Star?
The doctor.
Good girl. Good girl. You're doing great. Heads out. Oh, now what do I do?
You're almost there, Star. One more big push, and your baby will be here.
That's it, Star. Your Kokum would be proud of you.
Mark, get ready to catch the baby in that sterile sheet you put off to the side. Over.
Oh boy. Roger that. Over.
What?
Okay. Over. Gotcha. You slippery little... whatever you do, Mark, don't drop. Hey, what do you know? It's a boy.
Can I get an update, please?
Hang on, lady. I kind of got my hands full. CF-251 to base. A textbook perfect 3-point landing. Mother and son doing great. Over.
Wonderful. Dry him off, then wrap him in anything dry and warm. He mustn't get cold. Then get them back here pronto. Over.
Roger that. What do I do with the cord? It's awful long. Over.
Is the placenta, the afterbirth, out yet? The cord is attached to it. Over.
I don't think so. Over.
Okay. Just tuck it in with the baby. We'll look after it when you land. Over.
Okay, thanks. And, by the way, you will need 2 stretchers. Doc is coming out of it, but he isn't making any sense yet. Over.
Mark, I want to thank you. You and that nurse took real good care of my boy and me.
What's important is you and your little guy are safe. I was a real mess out there. It's Andrea you need to thank.
I could never have done it without this big hulking baby.
Oh, can you tell that doctor I'm sorry if I broke his fingers?
I'll be sure he gets a full report. Self-important idiot. Will I see you after my shift, Mark?
Oh, you bet. I'm gonna need a stiff drink. Or 4.
Gee, Ben brought in coffee this morning.
And grilled Persians from the new lunch.
Who died?
Actually, they're from someone called Esther Housie.
It's either a peace offering or a bribe to keep us quiet.
Who?
The doc with the sore noggin.
Oh, yeah.
So, how are Mom and baby doing?
That Morningstar is one tough kid. Flew back to her community the next day. Andrea says her grandma named the boy Soaring Hawk Child.
So, it's Andrea now. You're not getting sweet on her now, are you, Mark?
I'll ignore that. An elder from her village asked to visit me last night. He wanted to give me a gift for Morningstar and the baby, and he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Why? What was it?
Actually, 2 gifts. He gave me 1 and 1 for Andrea, too.
So, keep us in suspense, why don't you?
The elder gave each of us an eagle feather.
Wow! Old Tom Greyfoot from Lac Seul told me that a gift of an eagle feather is a great honor among the Ojibwe people. It's supposed to bring good fortune to the one who carries it.
Well, that I can use. I need all the good luck I can muster nursing along these beat-up old crates that Ben here calls aircraft.
Hey!
By the way, Ben, someone better look at the RDF on 251. It's on the blink again.
Listen again next time for another exciting adventure of Mark Black, the Bush Pilot.